Well, hello again, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, this is Bob Davis welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you would like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, give us a call. That toll-free number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking hope all month, and that's tied to Jesus. Jesus Christ is our hope. Sometimes folks who are Christians, who are religious, have misplaced hope, and they've totally missed what hope really is. And that was the case for the Pharisees, and Jesus pointed that out in one of his many conversations with them. He looked them in the eye, and he said this, "But do not think I will accuse you before the Father." Now, that's good news.
Yes.
If you're a Pharisee, you're in one of their shoes, and Jesus says, "I'm not going to accuse you." That's good news, and that's what he says to all of us.
But wait, there's more.
There is more. He says, your accuser is Moses. So there is an accuser, and it's Moses. And they were probably thinking, has this guy lost his mind? Yeah. I mean, Moses was one of the good guys. I mean, he's just a giant as far as Judaism is concerned. How can you say that Moses is our accuser? And then he goes on to say, and it's on this Moses, it's in on whom your hopes are set. So everything, as far as these religious leaders were concerned, was based on Moses and what he brought forth through the Mosaic covenant. So what Jesus was really saying is, you religious leaders are relying on your ability to keep the law for eternal life. That's where your hope is set.
Yes.
And that's a hope that's going to lead to all kinds of negative things, accusations, condemnation, judgment, and death. Why? Because that's the ministry of the law. The law condemns. The law judges. The law punishes through death. That is the wages of sin. So they had hope. It was just misplaced. It was in their ability to live up to the righteous standards of the law. If that's where your hope is today, then your hope is misplaced. And many, many, many Christians fall in this category. They've been saved by grace, and now they're trying to perfect themselves through human effort. They're trying to give their college shot to be God's guy. Their hope is misplaced. And that's why the Christian life doesn't seem to work. So maybe you should go back and ask the question, in what or in whom am I hoping? And if the answer is not Jesus, then you need to rethink hope, because he is the only hope.
Without question. This is Basic Gospel, and that's Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you've joined us for this edition. Plenty of open lines right now, and they are yours if you dial quickly, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis, and again, thank you for joining us. Got a question from Mike, who wrote to us from Louisville. Says, I was watching a call-in show where people could ask questions to a priest. Someone had called a question saying that not everything Jesus says in the Bible is exactly word for word, and that things got misinterpreted as the stories were passed down. I always thought that there was a line in the Bible that specifically said, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or something to that extent, he says. Is that right? If so, wouldn't that be the simplest answer to someone that doubts the credibility of the Bible?
Well, I think we have some passages in the New Testament that really tell us that we can trust the Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. We see things in, for example, Paul's letter to Timothy, that all of God's Word is inspired and is profitable for various things. So we get this understanding that God moved in the hearts of people to write down what he wanted men to know. And these writings have been meticulously copied from generation to generation to generation. and any errors in the manuscripts get down not to content or not to doctrine or not to what's being said, but maybe a punctuation mark here or a word misplaced or something like that in a sentence order, or it's those things that do not detract at all from the message. And then as far as the apostles are concerned, Jesus gave them the promise as he is kind of preparing them for what's ahead in John chapters 14 and 16. He's going to say that the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I have said. So the story of Scripture, the Bible itself, was never dependent upon man to get it down correctly. It wasn't left to man's remembrance. The Holy Spirit was actively involved in that, bringing to the apostles' memory all the things that Jesus had said to them. So if the Holy Spirit, I don't think we have to worry about his memory. I don't think we have to worry as to the accuracy that he revealed that to them and the accuracy that they wrote it down. I think we can rest assured that God was in the process of bringing this Bible into our hands from start to finish.
Mike, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And for friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email. We'd be glad to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel. You can do that by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. I want to give the phone number again, 844-322-2742. We await your calls. We'd love to address your question or your particular issue on this edition of Basic Gospel. So again, open lines, 844-322-2742. Question from Lana, who writes to us from Long Beach, California. She says, the new covenant spoken of in Jeremiah 31:31-33, this is for the Jewish people and has not happened yet, she says. Quoting the scripture, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the house of the people of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Question, she says, please explain the new covenant for the church and how it differs from the new covenant of the people of Israel. Aren't we ministers of the new covenant to the people of Israel?
Well, we are ministers of the new covenant, period. Yes. And that is to both Jew and Gentile. Paul was a minister of the new covenant. Wherever he went, he would go first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That was the pattern. That was the pattern in the New Testament. So we see that at Pentecost. It was to the Jew first, and then it went to the Samaritan, and then it went to the Gentile. Yes. So Paul, when he went around the world and did his various missionary journeys, wherever he landed, wherever city he was in, he would go to that synagogue and he would try to convince the Jews there that their Messiah had actually come in the person of Jesus Christ. This person that suffered and was crucified and was buried and was raised back to life. And he would try to convince them to believe that Jesus was truly their long-awaited Messiah. And in most cases, the Jewish people at large rejected that message. There were always a few that believed. There was a remnant. There was a small group. And when they would push Paul out, then he would take that message to the Gentiles in that city, and the majority of believers in those cities were Gentiles. But what did he minister? He ministered the new covenant in the synagogue. He ministered the new covenant in the city streets and homes to the Gentiles. That's the only message. I mean, there's no other message. And I think that's so important, Richard, for us to understand that the message of the Bible is the unfolding story of Jesus from start to finish. And this Jesus was going to come through the Jewish people. That was God's plan. That's what he predestined. He picked that to be, and that's what happened. But Jesus, once he arrived, he was to be a blessing to the whole world, both yes. Jew and Gentile.
And that was the promise to Abraham. It had to be that promise. It couldn't be the Mosaic covenant because the Mosaic covenant was not part of the promise. The promise went through the tribe of Judah, Mosaic covenant came through the tribe of Levi. And so when you realize that, and the promise to Abraham was that all peoples of the earth will be blessed through your seed, then, as Paul tells us in Galatians, when that seed came, Jesus, the only one who could be that person, he blessed everyone. So therefore, the covenant applies to everyone.
Yes, indeed. And that gets right back to the verse we read at the beginning, that the fact that your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. And Jesus goes on to say, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. If you actually believed what Moses yes. said, then you would believe Jesus. So he's saying, basically, the real Jew is a Christian.
Yes.
Why? Because the story to the Jew was all about Christ, was all about Jesus Christ. And the one who recognizes Jesus as the Messiah is now called a Christian.
Yes.
So that's the link right there. But he says, but since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?
Yes.
So Jesus has brought in this new covenant. He ratified that with his shed blood. And that new covenant is now available to anyone who believes, whether Jew or Gentile.
Correct.
Lana, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you as well. Lots of folks have questions, and those of you who can't get to the phone, as I said earlier, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. I want to remind you, friends, that you can stay in touch with Basic Gospel while you're on the go by downloading the feature-rich Basic Gospel app. We've heard some really, really good comments on it, and it is a multifaceted feature, and we encourage you to take advantage of it. There's just so much that you can do with it, more than we can go into right now, but you can download it right now from the App Store, the Basic Gospel app, and we hope you'll do that. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at the website. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Also, we've talked about the importance of keeping up the good work and the support of this ministry because, actually, it's really important for us to be on the air every day. As we've seen so many times in the last few months, we have people that call that basically their spiritual guts are hanging out. We've used that term before, and so many times that's the truth. And so it's good for us to be here to address those needs as they are presented to us. And for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, our gift back to you is the brand-new Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, a perfect companion to Bob Christopher's best-selling book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to do that. You can do so by clicking Donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742.
Yeah, in the study guide, chapter 8, we pose this question at the beginning of the chapter. When you say your sins have been forgiven, what does that mean to you? And I think that's a very important question because oftentimes we really don't understand what this word forgive or forgiveness actually means. We're relying on kind of human sources to figure that out. But that's not a very reliable place to go. There is so much confusion out there in the world swirling around this idea of forgiveness. So if we're really going to know what it means to be forgiven, then we have to go to the source of forgiveness, and that is Jesus Christ himself. God is the originator of forgiveness. The God who loves is also the God who forgives. And that's just what we have to come to grips with. And so if we're going to really understand forgiveness, we have to know exactly what that looks like as far as God is concerned. So when God forgives our sins, what does he do? What does that look like? What actions does he take to bring about forgiveness in our lives? And this particular chapter will just get you into the Word, and we'll ask you all kinds of questions about all the passages that you're reading. And I think you will come out of that with this incredible assurance that your sins have been forgiven in Christ Jesus, and that you will know that you stand before God as a forgiven person. So if you want that in your life, if you want to know that Christ has taken away your sins once and for all, then we want to put this in your hand so that you can really see what the Word of God has to say in that regard.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. Again, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Go online to basicgospel.net, click Donate on any page, or as I said, you can call and speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Guys, a question from Cliff, who writes to us from Atlanta, says, a friend that I fellowship with is telling me that the Lord's Prayer is indeed an applicable prayer for us today, even though I explained to him that the prayer has already been answered. He is saying that God's kingdom hasn't yet come and that his kingdom is the new Jerusalem. This is his main sticking point. Do you have any scriptures that I can present to him explaining how we're already in God's kingdom?
Well, there's a passage in the book of Ephesians that comes to mind. Actually, I think it's in the book of Colossians. So we'll go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to see that when we come to Christ, we've been transferred out of one kingdom into another kingdom. So the story of the gospel really is a tale of two kingdoms. There's this kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so we've been transferred out of one kingdom into another. And that's good news. And yeah, that's what we have to...
Colossians 1, 12 and 13.
Why don't you read that for us, Richard?
And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
So when Jesus was raised back to life and he then ascended into heaven, he was given the gift of God's Spirit. That Spirit was poured out on man, took up residence in those who believe and trust in him, and a new body was formed, a new entity was formed called the body of Christ, and Jesus is at the helm. He's the head. He is seated on the throne. And so there's this kingdom that was established, and it is in operation today.
Yes.
It is invisible to the world, but very much visible as far as God is concerned. We see the effects of it. Whenever the gospel, you know, hits a new place, we see the effects of that. Mm-hmm. We see the effects of Christ working through his body in this world today. Without Christ working through his body today, who knows what the world
yes.
would look like? I mean, it's a mess right now, but without Christ working through his body in all the different nooks and crannies of this world in which we live, this would just be an incredibly evil place. So we see bits and pieces of his kingdom being made visible. But there will be a time when the entire kingdom will be made visible, when everyone will see Jesus and will bow the knee and confess that he is Lord, when this new Jerusalem will come down and he will take up his residence there along with his bride, the body of Christ. But we're already in that kingdom, as Paul so clearly states right here. We are rescued from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his Son.
Absolutely. Cliff, that's a good answer for you. I hope that's a help. Again, 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk to Ken, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ken.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, my friend.
Thanks. Oh, I was just thinking about Abraham. Now, if the children of Abraham generation that came out of Egypt, and the Jews, and the Bible say the Jews and the Gentile, how could the other tribe, the other 11 tribes, how could they be Gentile when they are from Abraham's seed? I think the Gentiles was supposed to be like the Romans that was there.
Well, Ken, you have Abraham, and then there was Isaac. And then there was Jacob, but Abraham had another son, Ishmael, and Isaac had another son, Esau. Mm-hmm. but God specifically chose that the bloodline would go from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and then through Judah. Now, that's the bloodline for Jesus. The 11 other tribes were out of the bloodline of Abraham, out of the bloodline of Isaac, and out of the bloodline of Jacob. So they would be a part of the people of God, to whom this old covenant, this Mosaic covenant, was given. And they all received the promise of the land. They entered the land, those tribes. They took possession of it. They were given a portion of it because they were out of that bloodline. But God's purpose in that bloodline, with all 12 of those that came from Jacob, was to push forward to Jesus. And when Jesus came, then he blessed everyone, not just the Jew, but the Gentile as well. Does that make sense to you, Ken?
Not really, because my point was that, okay, as you said, I think you just stopped. You didn't just continue. When you said Jesus came and he blessed not only the Jews but the Gentile, so what I'm saying is that the same Gentile is a generation from Jacob, just as the Jews is the same generation from Jacob anyway. So the Gentile should have, when they talk about the Jews and the Gentile, I think the Gentile people supposed to be like the Romans, somebody outside of the generation of Jacob.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
The Bible describes Gentiles as anyone who is not a member of the children of Israel. So
right.
Any of the tribes or people groups that they displaced in when they went to the Promised Land, Romans, Greeks, Persians, everyone, anyone who was not from the children of Israel was a Gentile. Now,
correct.
Part of the confusion, I think, comes because technically when people referred to Jews, they were referring to people from the tribe of Judah.
And Benjamin.
And those two tied them together, the southern kingdom. And that's an unfortunate confusion, but you're correct. Everyone from Jacob was part of the children of Israel. Everyone not children of Israel are Gentiles by definition.
And because every time Jesus blessed somebody, or take the spirit out of the person, like the lady with the blood or whatever, he said, she's a daughter of Abraham. The guy that was in the tree, the sycamore tree, said, tell him to come down. Today I'm going to be eating at your house. You're the son of Abraham. So then, if so be the case, then those people was Gentiles. And I don't think they was Gentiles, because the generation come all the way from...
Well, a lot in those particular references, when you're a son of Abraham, I think Jesus is also referring to the belief that Abraham had to the promise of God. And Paul even goes on to say that Abraham is the father of us all as far as faith is concerned, because the faith of the Jew exercises in Jesus is the exact same faith the Gentile exercises in Jesus. So Abraham becomes the father of us all as far as faith is concerned. But Ken, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call, my friend.
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Do. Of course, getting the word out, as we've said so many times, is what we're about here at Basic Gospel. If what you hear on this particular broadcast is of benefit to you, we ask you to share in the blessing of joining us in supporting the message that you hear at Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. That's the primary reason to give through Basic Gospel, but of course, for your gift of any amount this month, as we said a few moments ago, we'll send you a copy of the new study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the companion to Bob's book. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Make your gift today and keep the good news coming, and receive your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Till then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the minister team, Bob Davis, God bless you and take care, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.